Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Series in this hour, we'll be beginning new storylines from Speed Gibson of the International Secret Police and Chandu the Magician later. But first, it's episode one of two of The Atmosphere of Death. That's the story on Tom Corbett's Space Cadet, heard on ABC on March 18th, 1952.
Kellogg's Pep, the build-up wheat cereal, invite you to rocket into the future with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet. Stand by to raise ship. Blast off minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
As roaring rockets blast off to distant planets and far-flung stars, we take you to the age of the conquest of space with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet. High over the Atom City spaceport, a huge blast-pitted field surrounded by ramps and conical metal buildings, a tiny ball of flame glows softly in the sky. As it grows larger, the blasting of powerful rockets is heard, and finally, leaping tongues of flame reach down to ease a great passenger spaceship to the landing ramp. As the hatches are thrown open, two young men in the uniforms of space cadets dash into the ship. Moments later, they step into a small private compartment and snap to attention before a middle-aged man wearing only a robe and slippers.
Space Cadets Tom Corbett and Roger Manning, reporting for duty, sir.
You were sent by Commander Arkwright?
Yes, sir.
Very well. Whose uniform am I to wear?
Mine, sir.
Oh, yes. I see we're the same size. Very well, Cadet Manning, let's get to it. We haven't much time.
Right, sir.
Oh, my suit is there on the bunk. I believe it'll fit you quite well.
Yes, sir. I beg your pardon, sir. I know cadets aren't supposed to ask questions, but, well, we'd sure like to know what this is all about.
You mean Commander Arkwright hasn't told you?
Not a word. Here's the blouse, sir.
Oh, thank you.
All we were told was to meet you here on this ship, and Roger was to give you his uniform. And then we were to escort you back to Commander Arkwright's office at Space Academy.
Wait a minute. You're escorting me now.
Yes, that's right. Now, since this may be a dangerous ride, it doesn't seem fair that you shouldn't know why you are risking your lives.
We're what?
Yes. You especially, Cadet Manning, since you're temporarily impersonating me. You see, I'm Barton Reed, a special messenger from the government of Venus. You've been there, undoubtedly.
Oh, sure. Practically a ferry run for us.
Then you know it's an important part of the Solar Alliance. We are now in grave danger.
From what?
I am not at liberty to tell you that. But I have come to get help from the Solar Guard. And so far, there have been two attempts to assassinate me since I left Venus.
By somebody on this ship?
Yes. But I've been unable to find out who it is. That's why I made these arrangements with Commander Arkwright.
Wow, he sure hands us some juicy assignments.
Ah, what difference does it make? We can handle it.
I'm glad you feel so confident, Manning. After all, once we leave the ship, you will be the target.
Oh?
Very well. I'm ready to leave. How do I look?
Fine, sir. Just like a space cadet. You ready, Roger?
Yeah, for just about anything.
I don't understand it. Commander Arkwright said he'd be waiting for us right here in his office. Hey, look at this panel. It's smashed. The teleceiver is out of commission.
What?
Something's rotten at Space Academy.
Yeah, Commander Arkwright missing. Now this. Roger, you stay here with Mr. Reed. Don't let him out of your sight. I'm going to Central Security and alert the guard. Don't let anybody in. I'll be right back.
Sit down, Manning. You're making me nervous, pacing back and forth like that.
I can't help it, sir. I'm worried. Tom's already been gone 15 minutes. He should have been back long ago.
Now, do you want to go look for your friend?
I think I should. Something's happening around here, and I want to find out why.
Well, don't hesitate on my account. I can take care of myself.
No, blast it. I can't do it. My job is to deliver you to Commander Arkwright and all in one piece.
Well, as it appears now, you may not be able to do that. So I suggest you at least alert the guard.
Yeah, I guess I'd better. But I'll only be gone a minute. In the meantime, don't let anybody in.
Oh, oh, great screaming Saturn, my head. Feels like it's got 16 moons revolving around it. What happened anyway, Roger?
You'll have to answer that, Tom. When you didn't come back to the office, I started looking for you. I found you in a heap here in this corner.
Yeah, but I don't remember anything. I was on my way to Central Security. Then something hit me like a ton of bricks and I blacked out.
You were slugged from behind. You've got a big lump on your head.
Jumping Jupiter! Mr. Reed, you left him alone.
Well, I had to when you didn't...
Skip it. We've got to get back to Commander Arkwright's office. If anything happens to Barton Reed, you and I are finished at Space Academy. We're too late, Roger. Barton Reed is dead. He was blasted by a heat ray.
A heat ray? But that's been outlawed for almost a century.
It makes no difference when you're committing murder.
Oh, brother, are we in a spot now? We were supposed to guard him, get him here alive. We might as well hand in our resignations right now.
Listen, let's figure this out. You traded clothes with him, so you'd be the target.
That sure didn't pan out.
Which means the killer knew you and Reed made the switch.
How could he?
He must have been on the ship. Must have been close enough to see Reed in your uniform when we debarked.
Maybe.
And remember, Reed told us there were two attempts to assassinate him during the flight from Venus.
All right, you don't have to spell it out for me. The killer was on that flight, but where is he now? It's a cinch we can't track down every name on that passenger manifest.
Of course not. But since his job is done now, there'd be no reason for him to stay on Earth. He'd head straight back to Venus, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he might at that.
And if I remember right, the ship that brought Reed here is headed back into space tonight. Back to Venus.
You want to go aboard her?
Why not?
Well, how can we do it?
The written orders to meet Barton Reed. The ones Commander Arkwright gave us. They were general orders, giving us clearance wherever we wanted to go.
Great jumping Jupiter. You want to use them?
Why not? What can we lose now?
Tom, my boy, you're getting more like me every day. Let me get a new uniform. We either catch a killer or a court-martial.
We'll return to the exciting adventures of Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, in just a moment. So stand by.
Spacemen, if you want to be a good space cadet, you've got to know your ship. That's why the cadets take special courses in spaceship maintenance. You know, I went down to the spaceport repair shop one day and got Tom Corbett to tell me all about it.
Hi there. I'm changing a set of steering vanes in this rocket cruiser. The heat of the exhaust burns them out after a while, so they've got to be changed pretty often. You know, besides keeping these rocket ships in trim, the cadets have to keep themselves in trim, too. That's why we make sure we get lots of exercise, fresh air, rest, and good food. And say, tops with me in that good food division is Kellogg's Pep. I need vitamins just like everybody else. And a serving of Kellogg's Pep gives me a whole day's supply of vitamin D. Pep gives you vitamin B1, too, besides other food values you need to build up strong muscle. And you get all these important food values in a cereal that tastes better than anything you ever tasted. So do yourself a favor, spaceman. Start each day with a big bowl full of Kellogg's Pep. You'll like it.
Well, you heard what Tom Corbett has to say about Kellogg's Pep, spaceman. But you just wait till you taste that delicious, malty-rich Pep flavor Tom was talking about. You won't need anybody to tell you the best-tasting cereal ever is Kellogg's Pep. P-E-P. Pep.
Assigned to escort Barton Reed, a special messenger from Venus to Space Academy, Tom Corbett and Roger Manning are tricked, and Reed is killed while under their charge. Taking a desperate chance, the cadets set out to find the actual killer. Now aboard a passenger spaceship bound for Titan, Tom meets Roger in their compartment.
I just checked in with the captain on control deck, Roger. He okayed our credentials and our orders. That hurdle is over.
We're on the right ship, aren't we?
Yep. Straight out to Venus with a stop at Luna.
Good. Now, what about the passenger list?
Well, I got that, too. Here.
You've checked three names.
Right. Each one of those three was a passenger on the flight that brought Reed to Earth.
Alexandra Stone, compartment 3B deck. The woman in the case. Hey, that's for me.
Cool your jets, son. This is a business trip.
Yeah, monkey business. Let's see, number 213, York Phillips, compartment 6B deck.
And number 315 is Nelson Deegan, compartment 3A deck.
With a name like that, he's got to be the space rat. Well, what happens next?
We wait. I've asked the flight stewards to let every passenger know why we're aboard. I figure that should make our criminal come to us.
Oh, sure, with a heat ray in his fist. Of all his space-happy ideas.
Hey, somebody wants in. Maybe it's our man.
Get ready for trouble.
Come in. Excuse me. I'm looking for Space Cadets Corbett and Manning.
You're looking at them.
Oh. Well, my name is Nelson Deegan. A few minutes ago, I overheard one of the stewards mention the fact that you were looking for someone. A murderer, to be exact.
What? How in blazes did they know? Roger, have you been shooting off your mouth again?
Oh, me?
Just as well that he did. I can help you. I believe the person you're looking for is aboard this ship.
Yeah? Who is it?
Alexandra Stone. That is the name you're going to give them, isn't it, Deegan?
Hey, pipe the space doll, Tom.
Pardon the intrusion. But I also overheard the stewardess, and I knew Deegan would try to accuse me.
I see, and I suppose you want to return the compliment, Miss Stone. You will say Mr. Deegan committed the murder?
Yes, and what's more, I can prove it.
Well, thank you very much, both of you, but I'm afraid you can't help us. You see, we already know who killed Barton Reed.
You what?
How could you?
I can't tell you any more than that. We'll be ready to make an arrest before we reach Venus.
But why not take him now if you know?
We need absolute proof, Miss Stone. There's a security agent on the spaceship now getting it. So, thanks again, and if you don't mind, we have a lot more work to do.
Oh, very well.
You'll let me know as soon as you make the arrest, won't you?
Oh, sure. You'll know, all right.
Thank you.
Now, Sherlock, would you mind telling me what that song and dance was about?
Well, one of those two was lying. Just came here fishing, trying to find out how much we knew.
Well, what about the other character that was on the passenger list, York Phillips?
Oh, I'm not forgetting him. We'll
probably hear from him sooner or later. Oh, getting stuffy in here, isn't it?
Yeah, crew must be doping off, not keeping any fresh air.
Circulating makes me sleepy.
Hey, you
smell anything?
Hmm? No, can't say. Can't say I do.
Jupiter.
You're tired all of a sudden. You gotta lie down. Get some sleep.
No. No. Roger, snap out of it. Narco gas. Putting us to sleep. Roger. Hey, Roger. Wake up. Come on, snap out of it.
What?
Wake up, will you?
Oh, my head feels like it's full of cotton wool.
Yeah, I'm kind of groggy, too. But shake those cobwebs, will you, fast.
What happened, anyhow? Last I remember, I was so awfully sleepy.
It was narco gas, fed through the compartment ventilators.
Great galaxy, how long do you suppose we've been asleep?
I don't know. I'm going to ring the control deck and find out right now.
Control deck, flight officer Burton.
This is Cadet Corbett in compartment 4A deck. Have we touched down at Luna yet?
Don't give me that space junk, Cadet. If you don't know where we are, you ought to be washed out of astrogation school.
I'm sorry, sir, but we fell asleep.
Right on the job, huh? Well, for your information, we left the moon an hour ago.
An hour?
Yeah. Is there anything else, Flash?
Yes. Will you check the passenger manifest? Did Alexandra Stone, York Phillips, or Nestor Deegan leave the ship at Luna?
I thought it was your business to know. York Phillips left the ship.
Oh. Thank you. Well, it looks like Phillips is our man. He fed us the gas and beat it.
Yeah, but we've still got to get him. Before he loses himself on Luna, it transfers into another ship.
And how are we going to do that? Jump out of the airlock and swim for it?
No, we're going to borrow the jet boat and head for Luna. Well, this is it. Room 415. Our last chance to find Phillips. We've combed every hotel in this crummy town.
Last chance is right.
Nobody home. Want to walk in?
Well, we've come this far.
After you, Alphonse.
Jumping Jupiter. Look, Tom, lying on the floor.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about what happened. That heat ray again.
I wonder if it's Phillips.
Well, he must have a passport or credentials of some kind. Now, let's see. Roger, look. This card in his wallet.
York Phillips. Solar Alliance Security Division. Tom, an undercover man.
And I thought I was kidding when I told... Why, the rings of Saturn. Alexandra Stone and Nestor Deegan. It must have been one of them.
You mean he or she KO'd us with that narco gas, then left the ship at Lunaport and blasted Phillips?
Sure, there was time. The ship laid over for almost 2 hours.
Well, that adds up, but we're left high and dry, and the killer is on the way to Venus.
Well, there's only one thing to do. We've got to catch up with that ship again.
Oh, brother, we're sure working these orders overtime. Let's see if we can thumb a ride at the Solar Guard destroyer base.
All right, cadets. Are you ready?
All set, Lieutenant Martin.
Then stand by at the airlock. We're ready to couple on to the passenger spaceship. The skipper's waiting to take you aboard.
Thanks for slamming us out of here so fast, sir. You were really burning those jets.
Oh, it's not difficult to catch one of those passenger ships. Ready at the airlock now. Remember, you will hear a steady series of signals until the pressure equalizes. Then you can cross over to the other ship. And spaceman's luck to you, boys.
I don't get it, Tom. Since we came aboard, we've covered just about every deck on this ship, and not a sign of the stone doll.
Well, there's still the power deck. Come on, down this companionway.
If Deegan's harmed us or helped me, I'll turn him inside out.
Well, funny we haven't been able to catch up to him. He certainly can't move as fast as we can.
If he's still carrying her, he may have stuffed her in a locker somewhere.
Well, that's a cheerful idea.
Hey, wait a minute.
You see him?
I don't know. But that locker down there, it's partly open.
So what?
Lockers are supposed to be secured during flight, or everything will come flying out during acceleration or deceleration. Come on, we better check it.
Jumping Jupiter, maybe I was right after all.
The right idea, Roger, but the wrong person. Look.
Deegan!
Well, what do you know? The space doll packs a wallop. He's out cold.
But not from any wallop. He's been given a whiff of narco gas and stuffed into the locker.
What?
Come on, let's try to wake him up. All right, Deegan. Snap out of it.
He's starting to open his eyes.
That's it, pal. Get on the ball. Come on, come on.
Take it easy, Tom. You'll knock him cold again.
Corbett, Manny.
What happened to you, Deegan?
Where's Alexandra Stone?
The bomb. The RDX bomb.
What are you talking about?
She left the bomb on the ship, on the power deck gallery.
Gee, what?
But that's crazy. She'll blow herself up with it.
No, she's trying to escape in a jet boat. She told me.
Where is the bomb, Deegan?
Somewhere on the power deck gallery. That's all I know. You've got to find it, or this whole ship will be blasted into dust.
We'll return to the exciting adventures of Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, in just a moment. So stand by.
Spaceman, if you want to start out tomorrow morning with a whistle and a smile, you just hustle on down to the breakfast table and do what the space cadets do. Open up a package of Kellogg's Pep and shake out a bowl full of good eating. You'll say, Jumping Jupiter, this is a real spaceman cereal. And you won't be wrong either, because the space cadets go for Kellogg's Pep in a big way. You know, besides being a top-notcher for flavor, Kellogg's Pep gives you plenty of fuel for a real energy send-off in the morning. When you rocket off to school or out to play, Kellogg's Pep helps you to travel at full space speed. Pep gives you the help of vitamin D and vitamin B1, too. And you get other important food values. Food values that help you to build up strong bones, strong teeth, strong muscles. Ask your mom to set you up with Kellogg's Pep every morning. Then you'll be starting out like Tom, Astro, and Roger. And whether you're heading out to Saturn's rings or down to school for a ball game with your pals, you'll be on the ball all the way with Kellogg's Pep. P-E-P. Pep.
Finding Deegan unconscious in one of the space lockers near the power deck of the passenger ship, Tom and Roger realize that Alexandra Stone is the killer they have been looking for. But when Deegan regains consciousness, he warns them that the girl has planted a bomb somewhere on the power deck gallery. Now racing against time, the two cadets circle the gallery in a desperate search for the bomb.
We'll never find it before it blows up, Tom. It could be any place on the gallery. That RDX is like putty. It could be shaped so we wouldn't recognize it.
RDX has to be exploded by some kind of electrical detonator. We'll check every power outlet up here.
Attention, power deck. Attention, power deck. Stop all rockets. Crews take emergency stations on jet boat deck.
Looks like Deegan contacted the skipper, all right.
Yeah, I hope the passengers and crew can abandon ship in time.
What about us?
We're going to find that bomb. Roger, look, that power outlet.
Huh? Oh, yeah, there's a cable running from it.
Yeah, at least behind this girder. I found it, Roger. Here's the bomb.
Yowie, let me at that cable. I'll pull it out.
No!
Huh?
You might explode the bomb. Detonators are rigged that way sometimes to blast if contact is broken.
But if we don't pull that plug, it'll explode anyhow.
Maybe we still have time. We've got to chance it anyhow.
Time for what?
To get the bomb outside in space. Let it blast there.
And how are we going to do that? You haven't enough cable.
We'll make a live splash. Have 50 feet to the cable. Then carry it to the power deck emergency hatch over there and dump it over. You get the spacesuit for me, Roger, and I'll get the cable. Move fast!
How are you doing, Tom?
Be all set as soon as I make this last connection. There. Okay, now. Pull the plug on the short length of cable.
You sure this will work?
I've plugged the long length in the power outlet in the airlock and hooked it to the detonator terminals. It should work. Go on.
Okay.
Whew. It worked. The bomb is still alive.
But we won't be for long. Let's get it outside of the ship.
Okay. Give me that spacesuit.
Oh, no. Here's where I take over, Junior.
Now, look, Roger.
You look, Tom. See? Suit's on already, and here goes the helmet.
Now, hand me that bomb. Okay, pal. And spaceman's luck.
Yeah, what do you want, Tom?
When the outer airlock portal opens, just push the bomb out into space. It'll drift to the end of the cable.
Okay, I got you. But I sure wish the pressure in here would equalize. I don't like the idea of holding a live bomb in my hand.
Can't say I blame you, pal.
Okay, pressure's equal. The outer portal's opening.
Push out the bomb, quick.
Here it goes.
Now, close the portal.
Right.
Roger. Come in. Roger.
Corbett, they caught Alexandra Stone. She's locked in one of the jet boat airlocks. She couldn't get away.
That's great, but when's this airlock going to open?
What's the trouble? Corbett, you're wide of the field.
Roger's still in the airlock. I heard the explosion, but he hasn't checked in. And I can't get into the airlock until the pressure is equalized.
There, you can get into the airlock now.
The portal's opening.
Hiya, Junior.
Roger, you okay?
Sure, you weren't worried, were you? The bomb exploded clear of the ship. No damage at all.
Except to my nerves.
Now, let's get after that Stone doll.
We don't have to, Roger. She's a prisoner in the jet boat airlock.
Well, and all our worries are over.
Not yet, Roger. We still have to find out why Barton Reed was murdered and what's happening on Venus.
Oh, great. More trouble. We stick out our necks again.
What's the matter, Roger? You worried? Why, you don't want to live forever, do you?
That's just the trouble. The way you operate, I won't get the chance.
Don't miss the next action-packed adventure with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, on Thursday, when he and Roger Manning land on Venus and find danger in part two of The Atmosphere of Death. Tune in same time, same station on Thursday for the next thrilling interplanetary adventure with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet.
Brought to you by Kellogg Pep, the build-up wheat cereal.
Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, starring Frankie Thomas, can also be seen on television and appears in the comic sections of many of America's leading newspapers. Look for it daily and in weekend editions. Featured in today's cast are Jan Merlin, Peter Capell, Maurice Tarplin, and Elspeth Eric. Today's program was written by Elwood Hoffman, directed by Drex Hines. Jackson Beck speaking.
Kellogg's Raisin Bran has a secret. Kellogg's Raisin Bran has a secret.
And what a secret! In Kellogg's Raisin Bran, the tasty raisins are dipped in honeycomb. That means plumper, more tender raisins, along with delicious golden crisp bran flakes. Both fruit and cereal all in one box. And no other raisin brand but Kellogg's gives you the tender goodness of raisins dipped in honeycomb. That's Kellogg's secret. So for your breakfast, make sure you get Kellogg's, because
Kellogg's Raisin Brand has a secret.
Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 18th of March, 1952, on ABC. Part one of two of the storyline, The Atmosphere of Death. Kids first saw Tom Corbett in comic books and in newspaper strips, and then on television on CBS in 1950. The radio version actually came last on ABC for a brief run in 1952. You're listening to an hour of continuing series on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, episode one of Speed Gibson of the International Secret Police, the syndicated broadcast from 1937.
Of the International Secret Police. Ceiling zero. Barlow, one of the youngest, most brilliant, and trusted men in the International Secret Police, has just brought a spectacular criminal case to a successful conclusion. Now he is about to go on a well-earned vacation, and we find him in his rooms with Speed Gibson, his orphan 15-year-old nephew whom he is raising. He has his hands full, for Speed is the typical American boy, interested in shortwave radio, aviation, and most of all, in the International Secret Police. Because of Speed's interest in the organization and his evident aptitude, Clint has been teaching him as many rules and regulations of the secret police as he could without violating his oath of secrecy. As a result, Speed looks on crime as the height of weakness, failure, and cowardice, and has determined to do his part to end it. His admiration for his uncle and his work drives Speed on to study everything useful to a member of the secret police, for he is determined to join that organization and work with Clint. At the moment, however, Speed is working on a model of the China Clipper while Clint is reclining on the couch, snowed under with travel folders.
Oh, oh boy. This is the life. Nothing in the world to do but decide where to go on a vacation. Well, let's see now. Here's Palm Springs, Miami, the mountains. Hey, Speed, where would you like to go best?
China.
China? Look here, fella. I can only get away for about a week or 10 days. Be reasonable.
What's that, Uncle Clint?
No, you didn't hear a word I said. Come back from wherever you are and listen to me, will you? This is important.
Gee, I'm sorry, Clint. But when I get working on this Clipper model, I forget about everything else around me.
You imagine you're actually flying in it, huh? I suppose I yanked you back from Wake Island when I asked you where we ought to go for our vacation.
No, I believe it was Midway.
Say, Speed, with your imagination, you could stay right in this room and fly all over the world.
Yeah, but I'd a lot rather really fly, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you know flying is my middle name. I've had enough traveling for a while. What I want to find now is a nice, quiet place where there's nothing to do but rest.
Oh, heck, that's no fun.
Well, maybe not for you, but it's fun for me. On my vacation, I'm going to do nothing but enjoy the beauties of nature.
Oh. Someone at the door.
Well, so I hear. See who it is, Speed. If anyone for me, tell them I've gone to China.
Okay. Oh, it's Barney.
Hello, kid. Is the mastermind at home?
Yeah, he's on the couch trying to find a vacation spot where he can do nothing but admire the beauties of nature.
Well, he don't have to go away on a vacation to do that as long as he's got me around.
Oh, say, when you come around, I see nothing but trouble. Now, you better not tell me that you've just come from headquarters and that the chief wants to see me about another job.
Can't a guy drop in for a friendly visit without being accused of everything under the sun?
I'm glad you came, Barney. Look at my Clipper model.
Say, that's a beaut, kid. First thing we know, you'll be piloting one of them Clipper planes across the water.
Maybe. But I'm going to be in the secret police like Clint and you. That's why I've been studying all the rules and regulations and asking you and Clint so many questions.
Well, you've got a flair for it, all right, Steve. But you know, it's the hardest work a man can do.
I'll say it is. Especially when you're in the strong-arm division like me. That's what you want to work for, kid.
Oh, is that so? Oh, listen, you big ox. Brains will get you out of many a fix that brawn never could.
I thought I'd get you off of that couch sooner or later.
The first time he's been off is his breakfast, Barney.
And you'll notice I didn't use any muscles getting him off either. It was brains. Who was it said he had the brains and me the brawn for our partnership, huh?
Both have plenty of both, if you ask me. I don't know where that's going to leave me when I start working with you.
Now don't worry, Pete. You have youth, a fresh viewpoint. We've been in the game so long, we're apt to get in a rut. You'll be able to see many things that we may overlook.
Well, now that that's all settled, is there anything to eat in this place?
No, but that's an idea. Now, what do you say you go out and buy some food and bring it back here?
Oh, yeah? If I get food, I should come back here with it.
Oh, please, Barney.
Can I go on your vacation with you if I do?
Nothing doing. I see enough of you when I'm working with you. I want to rest in peace.
Yeah. If it wasn't for me, you'd have been resting in peace long ago. I've gotten you out of plenty of scrapes. Why the time...
All right now, yes. I admit that I couldn't breathe if it weren't for you. But if you'll only forget the past and stop talking shop. I'm on my vacation, my boy, even if I am still at home.
I bet you'll stay at home, too, Clint. The chief will have a new case for you before we can get away.
He will not, because we're leaving tonight.
Where are you going?
I don't know yet. And I do know it'll be someplace where headquarters can't reach me.
Uh-oh.
So you're going on a vacation, huh?
Answer it, Speed. Say I'm not here.
But Clint...
Answer it.
Hello? Oh, hello, sir. Yeah, he's here. For you, Clint. It's the chief.
Speaks well for your training, Clint. The kid won't lie even for you.
No, sir. Hello, chief. Yes, we're leaving tonight.
Gee, but another big job. I wish you'd take it.
What's that, chief? Oh, now look here, sir. You promised me a vacation, and I'm going to hold you to that promise. Well, if something's up, let the other boys handle it. Why, sure, you're plenty of good men. Yes? No. Yes? No.
I wish he'd make up his mind.
Shh, I want to hear.
Oh, yes, I can reach Barney Dunlap for you. He's right here. What's that, chief? You want speed?
Gee, the chief wants me.
Lie down and listen.
Oh, no, I can't do that, sir. I'm very sorry, but... Oh, yes, I'll send Barney over, but don't count on me. And certainly not speed. What's that, chief? The octopus. I'll be right over. Yes, sir.
What's on the fire, Clint?
What does the chief want me for, Clint?
The vacation's off, speed. Come on, Barney. We got to get down to headquarters right away. The octopus gang's at work again.
The octopus gang? Suffering wing doodles. Where to now?
Hong Kong. Oh, where's my tie? Where's that coat?
Here they are, Clint. Well, what's the octopus gang?
It's the worst criminal gang in modern history, Speed. No one has ever seen the leader, the octopus, but his organization covers the earth, exactly like the tentacles of a giant octopus. He's diabolical, a genius of evil, with a brain so brilliant that he has successfully eluded every effort made by Scotland Yard, the French Sûreté, and even our own secret police.
Gee, he's sure public enemy number one then, isn't he?
Kid, from all I've heard of him, he's a super colossal public enemy number one.
Yes, and his power is constantly growing. He must be trapped. It'll be our biggest job, Barney.
I'm ready for it, buddy. Well,
come on, then. The chief naturally didn't give me any details on the case over the phone. He just mentioned the octopus, but that was enough for me.
But what about me, Clint? The chief mentioned me, too, didn't he?
Oh, yes, Speed, but he had the wrong idea. Haven't time to tell you now. I will when I get back.
Oh, no, Clint. Let me go with you, please.
Now, Speed, what's the most important thing a member of the secret police must know?
How to obey orders.
Well, then, as your superior officer, I order you to remain here until we get back.
Yes, sir.
And carry on with the China Clipper while we're gone, fella.
Gee, Barney, how can I work on a Clipper model when there's something really big in the air?
Well, kid, I don't know.
I wonder what the chief wanted with me. Oh, doggone it.
So long, kid. I'll bring some food back.
Clint always says how fine I'm doing in the secret police studies. But when I maybe get a chance to do some real work, what happens? I gotta stay home. No adventures could ever happen here at home. Oh, now what? Oh, hello.
Does Clint Barlow hang out here?
Clint Barlow? Why, he's not here.
Oh, no. Don't try shutting the door in my face. If he ain't here, that's fine. I'll just come in and wait. But not long enough for him to get back.
Who are you?
Just call me Blackie if you must call me something. Yeah. Nice little joint Barlow's got here.
Well, what do you want with my uncle?
Listen, I didn't come here to answer no questions, see? Just keep out of my way and you won't get hurt. But don't bother me none.
I won't, but I gotta make a few phone calls.
Keep away from that phone if you want to stay healthy.
Well, I...
And speaking of phones, your uncle was talking on that one just a few minutes ago, wasn't he?
I don't know.
You don't, huh? And I'll tell you, he was and I wasn't here. Barlow was chinning with his chief about the octopus gang.
Octopus? That's the kind of fish, isn't it?
Sometimes. Play dumb if you want, Speed Gibson, but you ain't fooling nobody. I heard the chief talking to Barlow about you.
You heard him?
Yeah, your phone wire's tapped. I didn't learn much, but what I did hear made me kind of curious. I saw Barlow and his pal leave, so I thought I'd mosey in and learn some more.
Well, who are
Never
you?
Never mind. I'm going to take a look around. Maybe I'll find something that'll tell me more than you can.
Hey, keep away from that desk.
Who says so? Sit down and shut up.
Keep your hands off those things.
You keep away from me or I'll fix it so you won't worry about what I'm doing here. What's that on the table?
My clipper ship.
Yeah? I suppose your Uncle Clint made it for you.
No, I made it. It's just like the real one. The body's real heavy. I weighted it so it'd have perfect balance.
I ain't interested in clipper ships.
Well, here's one that'll be interesting to you. Oh. Golly, I knocked him cold.
Steve, let us in. You have your lock on this door.
Yeah, I forgot my hat. Suffering wing doodles. Who's this guy? Somebody's put him on ice. And look at Speed's Clipper model. It's wrecked.
Yeah, I ruined it.
Who is this man?
He was looking through all your papers in the desk here. And he knew about you talking with the chief about the Octopus Gang. Said he'd tapped our wires.
Let me get the handcuffs on him.
Did I do the wrong thing, Clint?
The wrong thing? Why, you're the best man of the three of us. Come on, get your coat, Speed. You've got to come along and deliver your prisoner.
What?
If the chief doesn't make you a bona fide member of the secret police for this, I'll eat Barney's hat. Speed, you're the first person who's ever captured an Octopus gangster. Come on, let's get to headquarters.
Speed Gibson of the International Secret Police, episode 1 of about 177 broadcasts from 1937. We now close this hour of continuing series on Tuned to Yesterday with midway through a storyline of Chandu the Magician, this popular series heard on Mutual, and this episode from August 31st, 1948.
Chandu the Magician. Gentlemen, for your listening pleasure, the makers of White King granulated soap bring you Chandu the Magician. But before we continue our story of romance, intrigue, and high adventure, we'd like to have a word with you about your three times a day job of washing dishes. When you wash your dishes tonight, we hope you wash them in rich, thick, White King soap suds. For if you are one among the many thousands who prefer soap suds in your dishpan, we'd like to remind you that White King is a grand dishpan soap. Those wonderful White King soap suds stand up rich and thick in water that is comfortable and kind to your hands. Yes, indeed. White King suds are so gentle they are safe for pretty hands. For washing clothes or dishes, you'll say, "I love White King," because nothing washes like soap. And there is no soap like White King. And listen, when you buy White King at your grocer's, be sure to save those box tops, won't you? In Cairo, Frank Chandler has heard from Ali, an Egyptian guide, that a tourist is seeking information about the long-lost tunnel under the Sphinx, an ancient temple of black magic. Chandler believes the man may be Gordon Douglas, an important member of the sinister Roxor's worldwide organization. But Roxor has presumably died in the fire which swept the block in the native quarter containing his rooms. With the help of Dorothy, Chandler plans to discover the identity and purpose of the strangely curious tourist. Following afternoon in the home of Princess Naji, Dorothy Regent comes down the stairs and finds Chandler waiting for her in the drawing room. Chandu,
the magician.
The car's outside, Dot. Ben Zayed will get you to the hotel just in time to meet Douglas on the terrace by accident. Ollie said he was to leave the hotel at 4:30.
You don't think he'll take it for granted you've told me he's an agent of Roxor's?
No, I don't. For all you know, he's just what he claimed to be, a foreign correspondent.
Oh, I'll be very impressed.
And if he brings up the subject of the tunnel under the Sphinx, say you'll try to find out about it from Najee. He's always been curious about her.
Oh, I'll try, Frank.
What's the matter, Dot?
Oh, the very mention of that place makes me shudder.
No wonder. It's filled with the evil of 6,000 years.
Oh, don't. Even now, with the sun shining, I don't like to think of that black tunnel.
Well, don't try to hide that feeling from Douglas. I want him to know just what to expect.
Expect? You don't think he'll ever go there?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, he could never find the entrance. Oh, Frank, you're planning to take him there yourself.
Well, let's wait and see if the man is Douglas. You'd better go now.
All right. It'll be a dreadful anticlimax if he's just an ordinary tourist who's been reading too many books on Egyptian magic.
I have a feeling he won't be. Good luck, Dot. The summons. I am listening, my teacher.
My son, remember the words that were spoken in the place of evil.
In the temple of black magic, under the Sphinx? I know them.
It is well.
This holds a message for me now, my teacher.
A message from the living past, my son.
The living past? Not Douglas.
Hear my words. The one you name has bound himself to evil since time began.
And I've sent my sister to meet him.
Fear not for those thou lovest. Have I not told thee? In fear is the greatest peril.
I will remember, my teacher.
Remember and know. In the place of evil, thou canst overcome it. At thy command are all the powers of good. Await the call, my son. Await the call.
I won't be long.
Well, Mrs. Regent, this is a delightful surprise.
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Douglas.
Are you people staying here now?
No, we're still at Princess Nodge's. I was just going into the lounge to have a cup of tea.
Oh, may I join you?
But you were going out.
Just to look over the native quarter. I can do that at any time.
Well.
Good, thank you. I have a guide waiting. I'll just get rid of him. Oh, Ali. Oh, there you are. I won't need you now. Come back at 6.
Aye,
Bendy. Let's have tea out here, shall we?
If you like.
Here's the table.
Oh, thank you.
Bring us some tea.
Aye, Bendy.
What else would you like, Mrs. Reed?
Oh, just tea, please.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're looking very well. Have you made any progress toward finding your husband?
Very little.
Oh, that's too bad. I know you don't like to discuss it, but believe me, I won't repeat anything you say.
I can't talk about it, Mr. Douglas.
Of course. I was going to say your brother has the reputation of being quite a magician. Can't he use magic in this case?
Oh, I'm surprised to hear that from you.
Why?
Well, you told me you didn't believe in magic.
He didn't tell you then.
Tell me what?
Oh, he gave me a sort of a demonstration of magic the other evening after you'd gone into the house. He's very clever.
Oh, he often does magic tricks for Bob and Betty.
You think that's all it is, then? Just tricks?
Well, oh, here's our tea.
Hi.
I want it.
Oh, there's nothing more satisfying than a cup of tea, is there?
Huh. Aren't you going to answer my question?
Oh, don't reporters ever get tired of asking questions?
Well, this has nothing to do with reporting.
Sorry,
you know, the subject of magic has a strange fascination for me. I can't explain it.
Oh, I think it has for everyone, don't you?
Not in the same way, especially since I came to Egypt. Been reading every book on magic I could find to see if I could account for it.
And could you?
No. But yesterday, my guide took me out to see the pyramids and the Sphinx, and when I asked him if there was anything in the old story of a hidden tunnel there somewhere, he said he'd actually seen it.
Yes, I know about that.
Did Naji tell you?
Naji?
Oh, I don't know why I said that. Except that the guide told me her people were ruling Egypt before the Sphinx existed.
Well, that's true.
Do you suppose she'd tell you how to get into that tunnel?
You know it's said to be a temple of black magic.
Yes. Yes, and I have, well, almost a compulsion to see it. Wouldn't you like to yourself, a hidden temple, 6,000 years old?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, heavens. Look at the time.
Oh, the...
I must go. Thanks for the tea.
Well, it's my pleasure. I'm glad you happened along. Please, don't forget to speak to the princess, will you?
No, but Naji won't want to go out there with you, you know.
Oh, I don't care about that. If she'll just tell me how to find the entrance, that's all I want. Oh, the black night. Everything in black shadow. I'll never forget this, Mrs. Richard.
Nor I. Turn on your flashlight, Mr. Douglas.
Huh? Oh, yes. Now, what was it Naji told you? The key to the door is in the hand of Horus?
The carving there.
Ah.
Press on the hand.
It's true. Stairs going down into the darkness. Aren't you coming with me?
Oh, I suppose so. Stuck here.
Yes. I know.
What?
I've been here before. But there should be. But where's the priestess?
Well, there's supposed to be an alabaster figure in a niche in the wall. Naji said...
The priestess of black magic over the altar. Oriunda.
Look into the lamp she holds between her hands.
Who's that? Sandra?
The lamp that is as old as time, as old as evil.
Now I know why I had to come to this place, but why are you here?
Look into the living past.
The living past? But you? Who are you?
Look into the lamp. See yourself as you were 6,000 years ago.
I see. On my knees before this altar.
In the dress of ancient Egypt. Listen.
I can't bear it.
Oriunda, priestess of the black arts, hear me. While time endures, I swear to ally myself with thy evil. While the Sphinx stands though a thousand centuries unroll, I will do the work of Ahriman, prince of darkness.
All right, Dot. It'll soon be over.
Ah. Ah. Magenta. What are you doing here?
Don't you know?
I suppose I do. Yes, I see now.
Roxo was just one link in a long chain of evil men going back beyond the Pharaohs. You served them all.
Yes. But in some ways, he was the worst of all. He was a corrupter of men's minds.
And now he's dead. Is he?
Oh, yes. Why didn't I realize the forces I was up against when I met you? Why must there always be someone?
There always will be.
Oh.
Come on, we'll go back to town.
Now I must begin all over again.
I'm almost sorry for you. Come along, Dot.
Mrs. Richard? Oh, I'd forgotten.
Oh, Frank, I have to ask him. Do you know where my husband is?
Roxaw never told me.
Oh. We'll find him, Duff. Well, Douglas, we won't meet again. You'll be leaving Cairo tonight.
Yes. My work here is done. But there will be other lives.
Frank, where's he going? He just walked off into the sand.
Where do the lost ones go?
Sorry, Mom!
White King invites you to listen tomorrow at this time when the story resumes. Chandu, the magician. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
Chandu the Magician, pontooned to yesterday from the 31st of August, 1948 on Mutual. And that wraps up this hour of continuing series on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next week at the very same time as we continue these stories from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. It's been a pleasure.